A horrid Saturday for United as Cambridge leave Reading royally in the muck. Hello and a warm welcome to Under the Abbey Stand. I'm Jordan Warland and I'm going to start us off with some stats for this week's pod. It's now 6 defeats in 7, a whooping 10 goals conceded this week alone, and 20% of the goals we've conceded this season apparently have come in the last 3 games. We'll try to keep it balanced, but I think we're in pretty negative territory. I have a panel. First up, good evening, Julian Roberts.
Good evening, mate. This is we're recording on Sunday evening, and there's a famous thing a lot of listeners might have heard of, which is the Sunday Scaries. And those stats you've just given me there have really, really, really put the scaries in me.
Have I ruined your Paddy's Day? Happy Paddy's Day.
You have. You have. I think Cambridge United have ruined my ruined enough Paddy's Days over the years, to be fair.
How was the Guinness tasting today? Was it comforting to pick you up from yesterday, or was it making it worse?
I did have a pint earlier, and I looked at the score of the Millwall game to try and cheer me up, and it did cheer me up. So there we go. That's as far as I've got in terms of positivity for this weekend.
Speaking of positives, Tom Walker's also here.
Yeah, you're not getting much out of me, Jordan. I'll be honest with you. Wow. what a week in this football club's history. Yeah.
What a month in the football club's history. It actually is remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah. We were just chatting before getting started, and it's like that Gordon Ramsay video. And then he's like, oh, you really, like, he's judging someone's food on like Hell's Kitchen or something. He's like, you really surprised me. He's like, oh, thanks for that. Really appreciate that. By how shit you are. And, you know, you guys started a preview show on Thursday, and, you know, you've picked apart Lincoln pretty well, and I thought it stayed pretty rational, and you said, well, that's probably rock bottom, so
watch this.
Oh, I can go on.
And then we just said, just before we started, Jordan, you just went, well, that surely has to be the low point now. I can't wait for after the Barnsley review. Hold my beer.
Well, was it Barnsley, the last game before the clocks change?
Yeah, every cloud.
How much GMTUs can we squeeze out before the BST lot show up? Well, let's start on that point then, Julian, because yeah, Matt and I discussed in a preview on Thursday about Tuesday being the lowest point and how that will inspire a turnaround. I'll do Casper some justice here. That was mainly my thinking and my suggestions. He just sort of smiled politely. We didn't get that, obviously. What are your thoughts on Saturday as a response, not just on its own, but as a response to the fact that you lost 6-0 in the game before?
Yeah, it is. The context of Tuesday is important, isn't it? Because I think you also look at what Lincoln went and did to Bristol Rovers, and they tore them apart like 5-0. And Lincoln, obviously a side that's like bang on it. They scored 16 in 3 games, a polar opposite end of the form table to us. And they obviously, we caught them in a bad moment, both for ourselves and for them. But then the thing is, you then go and lose 4-0 to a Reading side who I think everyone agrees is pretty decent, and all things being normal and the points deductions not being there, they wouldn't be in a relegation scrap, and they shouldn't be really, considering some of the calibre of players that they've got, who most of which got on the bloody score sheet yesterday. But they are still a mid-table side. Like, we're not talking about one of the top 6 here. We're not talking about going to Derby or Pompey. Without the points deductions, I think they'd be 14th or 13th.
15th, and I think.
15th.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, fine, they're decent, they're a better side than us. Doesn't mean you can excuse a 4-0 defeat, especially as a bounce back to what is, fine, maybe you are playing the toughest team in the league at the moment in Lincoln, but you still have to bounce back from that to some extent. There just has to be some sort of performance there. And I think in the question, you've got the word inspire a turnaround in there. There's just nothing in this squad to me that inspires like anything in me. That word specifically, like, there's such a placid, like, weak bunch to me. And I think the two low points of this season, from at least in my view, in terms of results, are probably Tuesday night as a 6-0 defeat, no matter who you're playing, is obviously always going to be a low point, and the 5-0 at Posh in November. And I think what's so emblematic about this squad, or this group of individuals that have been assembled as an excuse of a football team, are the reactions from those two games. So you look at that afternoon at Northampton a couple of weeks after, and then you look at Reading after Lincoln. And I think it's those performances that actually show you that the lack of sort of grit and application that this squad has. Yeah, it's not the cheeriest of answers, but to be honest, like, my thoughts are just like, it's a kind of a hard thing to process, like being that bad on Saturday after Tuesday, and to combine it with the context of the fact that this is when you're supposed to be getting some sort of a new manager bounce, some sort of a lift from a new guy in the dugout, and to perform like that, like a team that looks so utterly beaten in the first 5-10 minutes even, it's really hard to know where to go from here.
I don't want to spend too much time on Lincoln, but we were tagged in a tweet by someone called Jez. Pretty sure it's not Jez George. I don't know if you have you two seen this?
No.
Okay, so it's taken Lincoln 3 games to score 16 goals. How, like, their last 16 goals. How many has it taken for Cambridge to score that many?
16 goals?
Yep, 16 league goals. They've done it in 3 games. How many games has it taken us?
Have we done it this calendar year in the league? Just about, maybe? Yeah, I don't know, 2 months? Sorry, games. I don't know, 15 games?
Close. 18. I enjoyed that tweet. Thank you for that, Jez. Yeah, you're absolutely spot on with what you're saying, Julian. And what just annoys me is Tuesday night post-game, all the word was sort of about giving away soft goals and shooting ourselves in the foot. And then you look at like the first, all four goals are defendable, but the first two riddled with errors.
In the first 10 minutes, you just think like, we're a team low on confidence. I know this is maybe easier said than done, but like, don't just like first 10 minutes just can be so, so sloppy from the off. There's no element of just like try and keep it tight for like, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. It's so frustrating to think like we never stay in games and then we never look like we have any ability to get back into them. It's a low moment.
I need Tom's thoughts on Saturday. Let's get Tom into the chat. Yeah, thoughts on Saturday first, Tom, and then slightly bigger than that, you know, the position that we now find ourselves going into this sort of 2-week break.
Yeah, it's been really damaging this week for loads of reasons, to be fair. I think, you know, the obvious thing is that we've lost two games, that we've lost two games really heavily. And, you know, I think everything Julian says there is right and fair about what you can kind of take from it and the conclusions that you draw about the character of the squad, which is one thing that I'll come on to. But I think, like, even just in terms of the results, like, it sounds obvious to say because we've got 6-0 and 4-0 in consecutive games. That's obviously bad. But, like, you look at even, like, what it's done to, like, our place in the league. You know, we're closer now to the relegation zone than when Monk took over, I believe. You know, 5 points has become 4. But then, like, the other thing is, like, our goal difference has absolutely plummeted. And before these two games, we were in a much better spot than both of Cheltenham and Burton and also Fleetwood. And, like, it's not just, like, like you've lost games, but, like, you've lost it in a manner which is, like, severely impacted your chances of staying up. Because that's like losing a point. And, you know, let's be fair, we haven't got too many of them to give away. So that's reason one, and it's probably the easiest one to kind of draw from it, which is it's been damaging because of that. And obviously the way it's lost the, you know, you've lost two games in such atrocious fashion. But, like, as well as that, I think it seriously, seriously brings into question a lot of these players. We've kind of said it and sort of hinted that what we thought in weeks gone by, like even when Neil Harris was here as manager, like there were performances against like Burton and Cheltenham where, you know, you were kind of like, this lot are leaving a lot to be desired at the moment. But I think particularly the Reading game, you know, I stood there watching it and you're just thinking like, this is showing them up pretty well, really, for what they are, which is a group of players who, some of whom are experienced, but, you know, you look at the strategy in the summer of how we put this squad together, and I get that we wanted to increase the quality and you want to increase the level of experience you've got in the squad, but what we fundamentally ended up with is a load of experienced old players on the way down who just either don't need to or can't contribute what's needed for us to stay up this season. And, you know, you look at Reading and I mean, the situation they're in, obviously we don't need to go into, but it's bad, obviously, there for loads of reasons. And, you know, we were chatting before the game, like, we genuinely believe going into that game, me and Julian were talking about it, we genuinely believed our best chance of getting a positive result was if Reading's fans had got the game postponed.
Like, it's so there, mental, isn't it?
There was absolutely no sort of, you know, idea that we would go in, do a professional job and get something from that game. Like, none at all. And you know, you look at where Reading are and how things are going there, and you look at players like Nibbs and Smith, and you look what they're kind of giving for their club at the moment, like they were for us, to be fair, this time last season. Well, maybe not this time last season, but sort of, you know, towards the latter end of it anyway. And you're just like, you're looking for anyone, like any Cambridge United player, just to show a little bit. I think you could maybe argue that Liam Bennett came out of it with some sort of credit. I think he was the one that wasn't absolutely horrendous, but you can run through the entire team and it's players that are just like, they're not giving it. Like, they're not showing any of the quality that they have. And I believe they have to have to have had the careers that they've had. But, you know, if you just run through the team as it was yesterday, you know, Stevens, I mean, we'll come on to him, I'm sure, like totally, totally off the pace. Bennett, there's a clip of Ryan Bennett in the highlights. It's right towards the end of the game. And I appreciate the game's kind of gone at that point, but a Reading player gets through him so easily. And then, like, he's not even jogging. Like, he's walking back to, like, try and recover the ball. And it's, I think it's Digby in the end that gets in and sort of makes a block. And Digby's come from about 20 yards behind Bennett and ends up chasing his man. Like, that is a sign of a player who's just fundamentally not putting enough effort in at the moment. Cousins, where'd you start? I mean, we've said it all before. I don't think he was actually the worst defender in terms of his actual performance, but he was pretty bad, and we're talking like he's come from pretty low standards, really. So it was an improvement maybe on what we've seen from him in the past, but it's not saying a lot. And then, like, you know, Lyle Taylor up front, for me, just isn't doing enough at the moment. And, you know, we know he's got it in him, and was kind of happy to give him the benefit of the doubt after Northampton. But yeah, he's just got to show a little bit more.
You're going through all the team there, Tom. Are you surprised that when the lineup came out before kickoff, there's only one player dropped from Tuesday night, and that was Jack Lankster?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it's fair to say we saw the team and we were like, "What on earth is that going to look like?" I know we haven't got like a massive pack to shuffle. You know, we haven't got loads of options available to us, but I think Caspel made the point on Thursday, like, after a game like Lincoln, like, you just have to kind of make a couple of statements there. And, you know, I mentioned a couple of those players, particularly Cousins and Ryan Bennett, who for me just shouldn't have been in that team at all. You know, if you're Gary Monk, like, do it for yourself more than anything, just to show a bit of, like, that won't be accepted, that level of performance. And I'll say, but very clearly now, in our next game, like, they cannot play. Like, they categorically cannot start. And you know, I know we're not blessed with options, but, you know, you brought Hoddle back from his loan. Like, just stick him in. Like, why not? Like, you know, if what's the point in doing it otherwise? Like, you need to put these players in and show that, you know, you can't consistently get away with such a poor level of performance. But more importantly than that, like, just desire an application. And so, you know, going back to the original point of what a damaging week it's been, but also for Gary Monk, like, it's been a really bad week for you know, what you feel his prospects have been long-term successful at this football club. You know, I wasn't really sure how it'd look and how it'd all work. Like, you know, we're obviously left high and dry, and obviously we have to make an appointment, but And I still think, like, what we were saying when he was appointed is fair, which is that, you know, it's good experience in theory on paper. He's someone who can bring a level of experience and quality that would see us over the line. But it's pretty uninspiring, this, at the moment. It's just poor from pretty much every way that you want to try and dress it up. Like, you can pick so much out of the game and out of the day and the last couple of games that we've played, but I just think, for me, the biggest telltale sign is that, you know, when you hook your goalkeeper at half time, that has to be the sign that this is a bit bad. Like, it's a real shit show. And yeah, I don't see it changing anytime soon.
I just wanted to reiterate a point there, sorry, George, that it's just like the fact that after that 6-0 Lincoln, the combination of four players of Morrison, Ryan Bennett, Digby and Cousins all starting that game on Saturday is like genuinely insane to me. And like, it's one of those things like, I kept saying it yesterday, Gary Monk knows more about football, has forgotten more about football than I will ever know. And I think, and fine, but like, how can you not, how can that not be the most obvious glaring change? And also, you, Caswell made that great point on Thursday. You have a license to be able to make those changes on because of the way Tuesday night looked. You can go back to revert to something if you think there was, you know, it was maybe a step too far. But this is your opportunity to almost look at some other players. Give Glenn Hoddle, give Glenn Hoddle a go. Why not? Give Hoddle a go. Drop Lancaster a bit deeper. Like, try something a bit different, but whatever you do, like, don't play those four in any combination or formation again, because they don't work, the four of them.
Well, he did two radical things. And I'm going to ask you about the first one, Julian, and that is Liam Bennett on the wing. You know, Tom mentioned it a little bit earlier, comes out of the game with some credit. He only lasted the 45 minutes on the wing. How did you rate that decision at the time? And how do you think he got on?
Yeah. You know, quite liked it at the time, as I just said. I think I would almost have liked to see a few more of those. Definitely, to answer your question you asked, Tom, I thought just one change wasn't as many as I was hoping for after Tuesday night. Bennett on the wing is something that I think people have talked about for a long, long time. When he was going for a sticky spell, and we were rightly, I think, at the time, criticising him a fair amount in the sort of October, November sort of time, and we didn't have cover for him, so there was sort of no real option apart from, I think, Okudina played a few games there. A lot of people were saying, well, he's defensively, he might be a bit frail, so seeing him on the right wing would be is maybe something we should experiment with a bit more. And I think Tom's spot on. He definitely comes out of the game with the most amount of credit. He comes out of the last little period with some sort of credit where not many people do at all. He looks like the one player who looks like he's a bit just brave on the ball. He looks like he wants to take someone on and try and start something. Like on the right, there was like one moment, and we're talking about like such small moments that it shows the scraps that we're feeding off in terms of like attacking, like creativity or movement, where he just did his man and like found a little crossing opportunity on the right. And it was just the sort of, he just shifted his body weight really nicely. It was such a simple thing, but you just don't ever see enough of our players at the moment. It's obviously a lack of confidence in there more than I think a lack of quality with this. Or maybe the fact that the way we're set up means that we never have enough of the balls for them to be able to do anything of this sort. But yeah, it looks like he's got that bravery to be able to try something. And he's obviously, I mean, we know how good he is in terms of his pace and his ability to get a cross in. Obviously, he didn't get more than a half to be able to show that. Mm-hmm. So it was good. It was good to see him there. But yeah.
I'd agree. I think there's a couple of instances where maybe he wasn't too sure of his position in terms of sort of helping out, going backwards and, you know, going backwards and stuff. But I think that could be coached if he was to stick out in that position and, yeah, put some dangerous balls into the box.
Still feel like his most natural, yeah, exactly. Still feel like his most natural position would be wing back, and I actually wouldn't be surprised if, given the break that we have now,
absolutely
might try and do something.
I know where you're going. Absolutely, get it done.
Yeah, it should do it though. It does make a lot of sense to me. I mean, you can inject a bit more pace into the back three. I think we have Brophy potentially, or Andrew on the left and get Bennett on the right. They might be natural positions for them as wing backs. And try and shore up this, not just leaky defence, this what would be, what's worse than a leak? I don't know.
A flood.
A flood, yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Tom, Julian's just said the B word, Brophy. The other radical change was obviously Brophy starting in central midfield. What was your take on JB's performance?
Yeah, well, he's done absolutely nothing to kind of prove wrong the idea that a lot of key decisions are literally coming off the back of them listening to us.
Absolutely.
Which obviously hasn't worked out that well, to be fair. I don't mind it, like, in theory. I mean, look, you know, it's a really tough game to judge James Brophy's credentials as a central midfielder on, because frankly, the players around him were just absolutely dire. But what I like is that it shows that Monk's at least willing to give stuff a go, which is why I find it so weird that, you know, just going back to the point about selection, why would you attach your reputation to players like Cousins and Bennett at the moment? I don't get it. But yeah, I think Brophy in centre mid, it's worth a go in it, because like I said, you know, the alternatives are pretty uninspiring as well. But it obviously didn't look great. Nothing looked great, to be fair. It's clearly the problem part of the pitch at the moment, I think, the midfield. I think it's where a lot breaks down and frankly doesn't offer enough protection or cover to those behind them, which obviously leaves them exposed. And obviously, you know, you just mentioned there about the leaky nature of that defence at the moment. And obviously it has to be rectified. And obviously if changing the shape and changing the personnel is something that needs to be done, then do it. I don't know if it's like a long-term thing. I don't know if we'll see this when we go to Barnsley.
Well, that was my next question, and it's for both of you, so both answer this. What were your thoughts on the formation? Like, I know obviously the result wasn't great, but do you think there's any potential in that 4-1-4-1? Do you think maybe it could work with a few tweaks? You know, maybe, you know, I think Lancaster coming on and playing where Cousins was looked good. Maybe swapping Brophy and Kachunga, things like that. Like, do you think you could maybe tweak it and make it work for the players available? Would you rather see him revert back to 4-2-3-1 or even just try something new?
Well, like, this is a really basic point to make. It sounds a little bit, sort of radio phone-in sort of answer. But I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters what the shape is. And we're talking about sort of minor tweaks here and there a little bit. Like, if they're not running and then they're not working hard enough for it, you can line up how you fucking want, to be frank, to be honest. Three at the back, four at the back, five at the back, central mids, you know, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. If they're not running and they're not working, it's going to have absolutely no impact. I think that's the key problem. I really do. I think it's frankly just a desire thing. Like, how much do you actually want it? And the big difference in this season and last season is that, all right, the quality wasn't there last season. That, you know, is probably in large part what got us into the situation we were in. But make absolutely no mistake about it. Like, the reason we were able to come back and obviously, frankly, pull off a pretty miraculous escape from being relegated is because there's a group of players there who are willing to give very cliche, but like 110%. Like, they left everything on the line, and there's no way you're getting that from these players at the moment. So, you know, as much as we can sit here, we can talk about what would we do and how we like it to look and little tactical tweaks and stuff. If they don't start giving a shit, basically, it's going to end pretty badly. And I certainly won't be holding my breath that that's going to start happening. I don't believe that this lot are just going to pull their fingers out and start giving a bit more. I don't see it. I think there's a couple of players in there who are sort of doing okay, but yeah, for the most part, it's just miles off where it needs to be. So yeah, little tactical tweaks here and there, fine, do it if you need to, but I don't think that's going to be the difference in staying up and going down.
Julian, you'll talk tactics with me, right?
Briefly. A point that I was going to make on this was that Digby was playing that role that we saw him play for a little spell in October that Bonner... You know, as Bonner did a couple of times, like, found it worked in a couple of games, and then just
Portsmouth at home, Borough away, yeah, exactly. The pen roll,
yeah, exactly. And he plays in that sort of what I think nominally is supposed to be like a really high pressing, like number 10 role. It's almost like the second highest up the pitch after the striker. And just before, when we were before the game, we were trying to figure out what the lineup was going to be, and 4-1-4-1 seemed like the most likely thing. I remember saying to someone, like, I think we were laughing about it at the kickoff. We were like, God, do you remember that little experiment we did with Digby when he was playing that number 10 role? And then we sort of started watching through it. We're like, oh, hang on, he's done it again. And I'm not sure that's something that that works myself, because I just think there is nowhere near enough. He's not got enough quality and guile to be playing that high up the pitch. And he sort of ends up with the ball at the edge of the box more times than you want him to. Mm-hmm. And he's much more suited, when we've seen him at his best, he's much more suited to playing that more defensive role. So I think there's still a player in there to be able to play that role. So tactically, the 4-1-4-1, maybe with some different players, maybe Lancaster playing that role would suit it a bit more, I think. Or potentially Adam May or someone like that. So I don't think it's totally dead in the water, but I do think if we're going to be this leaky, and especially if we're going to play Morrison and Bennett, As centre-halves, we do need to offer some sort of threat and option going forward, and it doesn't really inspire that So it's one of them things where, like, we always say, like, tactically, like, it's probably at this level, it does have to be a bit horses for courses. It's not really the sort of level where you can just play one formation, one system every single game and hope to get the same result. I think things are a bit more nuanced at this level, and you've got to have different options for different oppositions. So I can see it having a benefit, as it did in that original run when Bonner played it in October, but not with Digby playing that role personally. And yeah, we just need to find a way to score some goals, George, because there's absolute serious lack of them at the moment, as you pointed out earlier.
Post-game, for the second game in a row, Gary Monk talked about shooting ourselves in the foot. I think we've touched on this quite a bit already, Tom, but looking specifically at the goals, I mean, the first two, really bad. Like, what were your thoughts on sort of the nature of just how poor we were in conceding those?
Yeah, there's obviously a lot in the build-up to them that you can sort of pick apart and look at, but it's the goalkeeper in it. And I think that's what he's referring to when he's saying shooting yourself in the foot, because, you know, I think the phrase I used and I'll stick with is that Jack Stevens, at least for his performance yesterday, an absolute hologram of a footballer, because the ball just went through him far, far, far too easily on both occasions. And, you know, obviously you can look at the third and fourth if you like, but they're the damaging ones. They're the ones that win red in the game. You know, we're not going back from 2-0 down. It's just not going to happen.
The second at the time as well, you know, I know, probably being a bit naive, but if you get in at half time just the one goal,
absolutely. Like, no, it's a good point to make, and I guess in a way it can kind of go back to what I was saying earlier about the, you know, the thing with goal difference, that, like, you know, obviously it's soft goals, and when we're seeing too many goals, that's obvious. But like even just within the context of this game, like, it's so damaging, because you're absolutely right, George. Like, at that point, you're not even competing. You know, you're just getting blown away. And you know, if you go in at 1-0, like, it doesn't take a lot to scab something out of the game, deserved or undeserved. But you're going 2-0 down. Reading are obviously up for it because of everything that's happened during the week. You know, it frankly then just becomes a case of how many can they put past us, really. So yeah, we're conceding some really, really soft goals. I didn't watch the game at Lincoln, so I don't really want to comment too much about that. But yeah, for sure, you know, it's nowhere near good enough. Which is a phrase that I'll probably keep saying and you know, repeating myself. I feel like doing it till I'm blue in the face, to be honest. But yeah, nowhere near good enough.
What about you, Julian? Jack Stevens, for you, can you see a way back? You know, this was a thing that we were warned about when he joined, and I'm always conscious to the, you know, take with a pinch of salt what opposing fans say, but, you know, the overriding message was, you know, once his confidence goes, he's on this downward spiral that he doesn't seem to have been able to get himself out of at either Oxford or Port Vale.
When did his confidence go? That's what I'd ask. He's been shite for ages.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Like, this isn't the first time we're sat here critiquing goals that he could have done more with.
I think you've just absolutely nailed it there. From what we've heard from other fan bases, especially Port Vale fans, where he had a really torrid time, and, like, once his confidence went, there was just no coming back. But even Oxford, who obviously was there a bit longer, so maybe it's a bit of a better sort of sample size to look at. And I remember, I think it was George Ellick from Not the Top 20, around the time we signed him, saying that there's a player in there and he's very important in, like, a side that reached the playoffs for Oxford. But once that sort of downward spiral started and his confidence went, it was just impossible. It didn't look like he could ever regain that form. And it feels like if that's happened twice already, then especially given that we have a guy that we know is very capable as a backup, that is a legitimate option, which is why I'm surprised he didn't start the game again, going back to that question. But yeah, it feels, I guess it goes two ways though, right, Jordan? It's like, would it not have been better to just drop Stevens before the game, start Mannion off the back of a 6-0 defeat? Surely he's going to understand. Then surely the worst thing you can do for his confidence is start him and then take him off at halftime. If that really was truly a tactical thing, because he went
down. I was going to say, he did go down injured. And if he's that injured, hook him there and then. Because
sure. I
was going to say, I've seen some people say, oh, the second goal maybe was, you know, thought he wasn't moving right after going down. But I don't want to buy into that too much.
Yeah. Just to kind of go on to it as well, like, Stevens, I think, you know, with I think it's fair to make the point about confidence and stuff, but like don't go Roy Keane on it, but like oh, you're not very confident. Well, you've got a job to do, mate. Like, you know, train harder, whatever you need to do. I'm not feeling too good about my football at the moment. Like, grow up. Like, I'm sorry to be so basic about it. Like, you're a footballer, like, go out and do your job. Like, it's like some of the goals at Lincoln were abysmal. You know what? Obviously, like I said, I didn't watch it, so I don't want to, you know, talk about his entire performance that game. But someone I work with was there randomly, and like, didn't realize he was going to be at the game or anything like that. So it was quite a surprise to hear that he'd been a Lincoln fan, but he was in the Lincoln end. Look, like first thing he came, quite a keeper's terrible, isn't he? Like shots just go through him. Yeah. It's just really noticeable. And like a lot of these things that we're talking about, like it's just like a real trend throughout the squad at the moment. And like if goalkeeper's not confident enough to like save a shot that's right at him, he shouldn't be starting that football match. Like it needs to be a really frank chat. Like if you're not up to it, don't play, I think. And maybe that's something that he needs to work on a little bit. So yeah, we'll see.
Julian, we had a question come in from Steve. Thank you as always to everyone that has reached out with us for questions for the running order. Steve has asked, is there any positives that we can take from Saturday? Which I know seems like a silly question to ask given the last half hour of discussion, but I've got one, I feel.
Go on.
I think, well, I'm now doubting myself.
Like you're confident, isn't it?
I'm now doubting myself. I've gone all Jack
Stevens. I've never seen a man just revise his entire opinion just with one long look into the distance there, Jordan. And obviously, it's obviously audio content, so no one listening is going to have the benefit of what I've just seen you go through in about a 3 second spell. It looked like you had a real epiphany moment there. There are positives.
I was going to say, it didn't feel like a 4-0 defeat, which obviously isn't a positive given...
That's because you left before the fourth one.
given the fact that we turned it into that. But actually, I did feel like there were periods of the game where we were in it. And I know we can always caveat that by saying, hey, you're playing a team that's already 1-0 up or 2-0 up, take the foot off the gas. But I did think there were points where we were playing quite well. That the first 15 after half-time particularly well. And I know it comes with the territory of being 2-0 down and getting a bollocking at half time. So I think there were some positives there. I think I'd caveat that with the negative of we've spoken for half an hour about how many goals we've conceded. I actually think the biggest problem is, you know, where's the goal coming from? We look like a team completely short of confidence, and a goal, just something small like that could be key to turning it. And, you know, That double save from Kachunga quite early in the second half, you just think if that had gone different, the confidence that it could have brought back into the squad. So a roundabout positive there of there was some, you know, competition throughout the 90. It wasn't a straight rollover like Tuesday night was with the 6-0. Tell me, Julian, you've got a better one than that.
I've got something that's a bit different. I don't have a single positive from the game yesterday, so fair play for reaching for one. But
you told me to put that in a running order.
Because I've got a positive, but it's more about, not about the game, it's about where this point of the season. So my perception, I know we're about to talk about Monk in general, so this can maybe lead on quite naturally to it. But my perception of Monk so far is that the one thing he's not is like a vibes merchant. He's not like if you look at like firefighting managers, I'm not saying that's what Monk is, but hypothetically, when might you bring in a manager with 11 games a season to go? It's often what you might describe a firefighter, like a Warnock or an Allardyce, or to be honest, a Neil Harris, like people whose benefits and strengths as managers are being able to do all those intangibles in games, to be able to get up for it, to like give that extra 10%, to like inspire that confidence that Tom's talking about there in dressing rooms, with being really motivational and creating this atmosphere in the dressing room. And obviously, I'm not in that dressing room, but just from Monk's presses, what he isn't is like massively inspiring as an orator. Mm. But he has had a successful career as a coach, very successful at the highest level. And I think what he needs to build a squad is genuinely time on the training ground. I think where like Neil Harris always talks about evolution, not revolution, I actually think Monk needs a bit more time to like instill his idea in these players. And what we have now is a 12 day, something like that, 12, 13 day break between games where he can do that, and he can be able to actually like take a step back and try and think about how to like implement some ideas, which is where we're going to get any sort of strength out of Monk onto this squad. A squad which, by the way, when he's talking about positives, is going to have Ghassan Ahadmi available for the next game. He was on the bench, that being a definite positive, so just another option up top. And potentially Fejiri Okinabire is going to be back by then. Maybe Lewis Simper is closer as well, so you've got another legitimate option to be able to play in centre mid. So the squad starts to look a little bit fresher.
Okadina on the bench as well.
Okadina on the bench. So suddenly you've got a bit of maybe an invigorated squad, a squad that definitely needs a bit of a rest. It would be terrible if we had a Tuesday game now, I think, because you've already seen how bad this team are at being able to bounce back from a bad result, as we mentioned at the top of the show. So for me, I think the break is perfectly timed. Mm-hmm. I think it's the sort of break that Monk needs to be able to actually have some sort of impact onto this team. And then you've got a few players coming back. Now, the bad side of that is our next game is then Barnsley. So it's quite a legitimate world in which we obviously go and lose like pretty comfortably up there, and there's no shame in that. But then like you talk about momentum and confidence, it's like it's just sliding in one direction. So that result, a result like you mentioned, that maybe there was a glint of with that chance, that little spell in the second half, it has to come soon, because if we lose the next two, especially Wigan at home, is suddenly just like, it's almost the whole season in a way.
I agree. I think the break is a positive. Let's think about last year. The break was really positive for the squad. We went into it, admittedly, not having lost two on the bounce and conceded 10, but we had just lost two on the bounce. We lost to Charlton at home, which was a really uninspiring defeat, because I think we played quite well for parts. Then before that was the defeat to MK Dons and not being able to beat Morecambe at home. So we went into that gap last time sort of in a similar kind of low, and yeah, we came out of it. We know how we did after that. I was going to ask, like, I think Julian, I know your answer to this is going to say let's spend all the time on the training field. I'm pretty sure in this gap this time last year, didn't Bonner give them time off? Didn't they have a bit of a break?
Potentially,
do you think there's any would you entertain that thought, you know, say actually as a group take a few days away from each other, away from the pressure and the stress that we're going through, and then we come back and train? Or would you just be like, do you know what, I need the time with you, I want to start putting into practice some of the things I want to bring to this squad?
To me, it's got to be that, just because at least with Bonner, like, he wasn't sort of implementing a whole philosophy. I'm not saying that Monk's going to do that, but he's still a new manager with his own ideas, however revolutionary or not they are. Whatever was going on with Bonner and all the criticism of Bonner at the time, like, one thing that team knew was like how Bonner wanted them to set up, and it wasn't like we came back radically tactically different. Also, I'm not saying that that's what we're going to do with Monk, but I just think it might be small things that Monk wants time on the training ground to get to know them, get to know his team, maybe try different things out there. And I think given the fact that, you know, Monk's only, what, 2 weeks into his job, if that, that he needs the time with them, where Bonner maybe didn't. But the break, I think it's almost a luxury to have been able to be able to give them that break, because we had a long-standing manager in charge that we'd stuck by, which obviously turned out to be a good decision. I was going to say, George, I just got the league table up from this exact time last year after the Charlton game. And we were 6 points adrift, 10 goals adrift as well, goal difference wise, and second bottom of the league. So if you want a positive, we are still 4 points clear of the drop. It's not like we need a turnaround like we need last year, which is something that I keep slipping into, that's like, oh, we're relying on a turnaround like we did. We don't. Mm-hmm. We really don't. We can still get away with being like pretty average and staying up.
Tom, I want to get all your thoughts on this topic, and actually I think answering a tweet that came in from Kwame, who said, it's easy to say Monk now has the international break to work with the squad, but do you think anything will actually change? Third manager who hasn't been able to get anything from this group. What do you think? Do you think we're clutching at straws saying, oh, we've got the international break to work with them and he can get something from it? Or are you in the opinion or in the camp of saying, do you know what, players are checked out, they're not up for it, it doesn't matter if you've got 12 days to practice?
Yeah, I think it's more a case of time and getting a few of them in a position where they can start games. I think it's more a personnel thing. I think it's more a you know, can we get, you know, a Lewis Simper and a Hadme, a Fajiri, even if he was sharp for a bit. You know, can we get them into a position where they could start games? I think that's going to be the difference, is can you get some players who are currently playing out of the team and get somebody else in instead? I think that's going to be the real benefit. But yeah, like, I don't want to just kind of repeat myself endlessly, but international break, you know, whether you're playing Saturday, Tuesday every week, I don't really think it matters too much, because it's more about like, are they up for the fight? Are they up for it? And if that's something they need to have a little think about in the next 12 days, then so be it. And hopefully they come to the conclusion that they're up for it and, you know, I can go again.
Genuine question though, Tom, like genuinely, and I'm not trying to disagree with you, but I do think there's a little bit of like rewriting history in terms of how we were feeling about the team this time last year. Just a little bit. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think, do you not think like coming out of maybe let's say the MK game more than the Charlton game?
Oh yeah. Oh, coming out of the MK game. Yeah. Big time. Yeah. No. It's absolutely fair. And to be honest, I'm not like sitting here like comparing them, because I think there were a lot of problems with the team last season. And there are a lot of problems that continued into this season.
Yeah.
Which is obviously why we've had to make a managerial change. And frankly, it's a totally different set of players, or largely different set of players. Obviously, up to, you know, there's a lot of turnover, so it's not a case of like, you know, it's coming out of games going, they're clearly giving everything this time last season, and now saying that they're not, but like they're competing in games. You know, this time last season, that's the difference. You know, you talked about that Charlton game there. You know, you go in 2-0 down, I think at half time it was. Bono made a couple of changes, and I think we get back into it in the second half. You know, you end up losing the game 2-1. MK, you lose that game.
The whole goal.
So, you know, I'm not trying to kind of rewrite history in the sense that I was really happy with how things were going this time last year, because, you know, there's plenty of evidence out there that suggests otherwise. Yeah. But this lot are worse. In the sense that they are just not competing at all, and I have to, like, just because the level of quality that has to be there for these guys who've had the careers they've had and can build the experience they've got, it has to be an attitude thing. It can't be quality. Totally. I just don't think it can be.
I 100% agree with that. I think my point is more like, I think if you'd have asked me coming out of that MK game whether I thought that team had enough fight to overturn a 6-point deficit, I'd have gone absolutely not. Or as well as them not being good enough. I think it felt like we were totally done last year, which is why that turnaround was so remarkable, right? But they're almost separate points. We're talking about two different things really here, aren't we? We're talking these guys, you're so right about the context of who these players are, and the quality has to be there. So it's so stark that fight isn't there, because last year it was more a case of like players just maybe not quite being at a level. Whereas you know that these guys have to be given the careers they've had.
Right. Last question for today's pod. Obviously, Gary Monk is now 3 games into his tenure, so it's a good point to talk about immediate impressions. We've had a couple of questions come in via the socials about whether Monk should stay, questioning whether it was a bad appointment over on the message board. There's a whole thread about this. There's even a poll about whether you'd get rid of him or not. Question to both of you, like, can you understand this questioning and this mindset from the fans 3 games in? Can you see why people are saying, actually, should he be in charge?
God, I started early.
Yeah.
It's mental how it's not like that crazy though, as an opinion. Do you know what I mean? It's not like it's getting like shut down by everyone. Everyone's a bit like, oh yeah, 3 games in, so it's a bit early. But like, you know, that's what 11 goals in a week, shipping 11 goals in a league will do, I guess.
I think it would be pretty mental if we went and sat Gary Monk 2 weeks into the job. You know, we are very much ticking off the relegation bingo card stuff, but that would be like kind of full house sort of stuff.
I did see that Neil Warnock said that he was interested in getting back into management.
Oh, now we're talking.
Now
that I can get behind. I can get behind that big time. I mean, you know, if we're talking about experienced old people coming for one last payday, not really giving a shit, I think Neil Warnock's the perfect option. To
complete the set. That's who these players have been missing.
Wow. Well, what a turnaround. If you'd have asked me, I think probably post Exeter at home, that Friday night game, what I thought might happen in the next 4 months. And you'd have told me I'd be sat here discussing whether we should sack Gary Monk when Neil Harris was still our manager, and You know, 2 weeks in, three games in. But like, I think the wider point is like, it's a fair one that, you know, it does really bring into question, is he going to be successful longer term? I don't really think the longer term is that important at the moment, to be fair. The job that he was brought in to do, you know, I don't want to boil it down and make it too kind of basic, was pretty straightforward. You know, I think we were 5 points clear when he came in of the drop, and it's like, just don't fuck it up too much, basically.
A significantly better goal difference back then as well.
Yeah, well, that's it, and it's more like, I don't know. It's more, I guess, where the discussions start and where people start to have these opinions probably comes from the simple question of like, can you see anything changing? And look, if the answer to that is no, then change does become rather attractive, I guess. But I think, yeah, from my opinion, from my viewpoint, it would be pretty crazy, and it would be far too early. You know, don't hire the guy if you're going to do it, basically. So yeah, we'll have to see. But it is interesting and very, I'm trying to think of the right word, but yeah, it's interesting to see those conversations have started so early, because I just didn't expect it.
Right. We are going to take a nice break from pods and thinking about football.
God, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
If I've got the diary right, Julian, we'll be back on Wednesday the 27th, where we'll be previewing two Easter games. Might even be some Barry Worthington chat in there. That's something to look forward to.
What a treat.
but thanks for listening, everyone. Tom, thank you, mate.
Yeah, been a pleasure, George. Really enjoyed that.
Julian, go have another Guinness. Go have another Guinness, mate.
I will, yeah. I've got to keep drowning the sorrows. You didn't ask the last question on the running order. Do you think we'll stay up? Or do you think he'll keep us up? Save it for another day, George.
Save that for another day. I'll leave that as a cliffhanger for everyone to think about, and we'll speak again on the 27th.